to 3 jam. You can chant softly within your heart. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. You pay respect 3 times. Then after that, we officially start our puja. Okay. Okay, we will do the simple puja first. We chant Namo Tassa, take refuge, then renew our 5 precepts, then we rejoice. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maccha pamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Can somebody on a light here? It's on the pillar there. Somebody help to on the light. Eng Bi now. On the right hand side. After a while, you'll be familiar with the switch. This view in front and up. Some more. Okay, thank you so much. So, a very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now, officially, we are about to start the retreat proper. So make sure you have your retreat notes, so that we can begin. The complete set's got 3. One is a chanting book. The chanting book is this white copy. Okay, this one we will use for morning chanting and evening chanting. this afternoon, no need. We just have our simple puja enough. Then you have a set of notes, which are very useful. I explained to you in the past already. There is a program sheet with the introduction that explains the main purpose of this retreat. What are you supposed to develop, all those things I have gone through in the past. For the benefit of some from Alastair, I will go through it quickly again. Then the subsequent retreat notes are very useful, especially the one on the fictitious write-up of a lady yogi. How her expectation of retreat and how during the retreat she learned new things. Then how she transformed and developed the determination to cultivate. Then subsequent notes are all on the Dhamma explanation of what sati is, what heedfulness is, all the essential Dhamma and all those things. They are from most of our earlier short notes, the Heart Sutta class. Then there is also one blue book, which is the transcript of the talk that we gave at Brother Sui An's house, the Thursday class, 12th of September last year. You must read through this transcript to understand clearly what meditation is. This blue book, which is the transcript, is very important. Okay. The lady who just came in, do you have this blue book? Yes, good. Good. So this one explained the 12th September 2013 typical 2-hour meditation class. And this particular transcript is very useful because there's a lot of relevant questions and answers that were asked during the 2-hour period. Then the way I answer it will bring about a lot of understanding. Then you understand clearly what meditation is. So this will save us a lot of time. I don't have to go through this. It explains clearly how you can train your mind to develop the 5 spiritual faculties, to overcome the 5 hindrances. The Buddha said the reason why our mind is not peaceful is because of the 5 mental hindrances. It hinders your mind from becoming peaceful and aware. So this hindrance, you don't try to fight them, you don't try to do anything about them. You only need to understand and be aware that they are there, and they are the source of heedlessness. And the hindrance arises because of your delusion, your lack of right understanding and right view. So in order to overcome this, you need to cultivate the 5 opposite spiritual faculties. So like I explained in the past, you have a lot of opportunity to cultivate this 5 spiritual faculty the moment you arrive at this retreat place. Just to benefit those who just came in, make it a routine. Every time before you come in, as you step into the meditation hall, first thing you do is to be mindful of the Buddha and to pay your respect. Then after that, you can continue with what you're supposed to do. You need to look for a cushion that suits you. You come earlier. Otherwise, you make do with what is available. For those who just came in, on your right, there are some cushions there. Then inside that room there is still some more different type of meditation mat or whatever. Look for one that suits you. Relative on the chair there, on the right. So you have to find out what is appropriate and suitable. Okay, with this, maybe we can really officially start now. Today, we are actually very lucky because the weather is very good, very conducive. Normally, this place is very cold. It rains a lot, and I was told before we came up. Brother Sui An, they all came last week, I think, with Vishu, Visuddho. Yes. That time was cold, really cold and raining. So today the weather is very good, very sunny. So it will warm up the temperature. So tonight not so cold. So it should be good for us. Then if we have time, I will bring you up to the hilltop where you can do your meditation and contemplation during the walking and sitting session. Walking and sitting doesn't mean you have to do it in the hall. You can also do your bowing, sitting, walking, contemplation, anywhere within the vicinity of this temple. Last time I used to walk down there, near to the Sapalohan. There are two paths, one here, one here. I used to walk along these two paths. Then there is a hill on top. I used to do my contemplation, reflection. And sometimes I just stand out there, the window. Then I will do my reflection and contemplation. Then sometimes outside the room, along the corridor, you look out. Especially middle of the night, when very quiet, when the nature and the weather is very beautiful, then I can feel, then I will come out. Then especially when it starts to rain, then there is this four corner of the building, they got this bell, very sharp ringing bell, they call fengling. That vibration is beautiful. When the wind and the rain, like somebody rejoicing, ding, 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 and the vibration is very beautiful. You can find out for yourself. And there are a lot of beautiful conditions here. If you have your affinity, you have your path, you can connect, you can link, and you can progress very fast. That's why this retreat is going to be very helpful, very useful. Then, before I forget, today, like I say, we are very fortunate, not only weather good, Padma Suri, where is she? She's here, come. She brought some lotus, two beautiful, and some incense. We will make our offering to this Triple Gem, because we don't have anything. So it's very kind of her. She just asked me, I said, can we make the offering on behalf of the whole group? Come, go and light. Ingbi, you help her. No, never mind. Bring the thing. You all have to help. I have to speak. Don't worry. Anybody got a lighter or a match? Otherwise, we have to use this one. Okay. We try to use this one because these are electrical bulbs. You have to open here. Use this one. So, this one you can light from here, yes. Okay. For those who just came in, I told you when you come in, first thing you do, pay respect. Before you go out, also same. Or you want to go to washroom or what, develop your faith, sit down, pay respect to the Buddha or any of the Bodhisattva. You can pay respect to all two. Because you look at the back, this one is actually Amitabha Buddha, because it's a Mahayana temple, understand not? Then they have Sakyamuni too. Then this one is the one with the lion seat is Manjushri. Then that one, the elephant one is Pusian. Then you got the Tijangwang Pusa. This is Tijangwang Pusa. Okay, we make the offering come. We rejoice. One each. Okay, compose your mind on the respect posture your like you pay respect on the together we shall make the offering. We all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will make offering of this lotus, two of them to the Triple Gem. May this wholesomeness bring about causes and conditions for us to have very beautiful and very fruitful retreat here. and we rejoice. And may this wholesomeness be shared by all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all those who have the affinity and condition to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Put the other one here. Then the incense, you can put here. Put here. Offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then over here is Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin is the Chen Su, Chen Yin. Then in between this one, we can maybe that one is Sakyamuni. Then that one is Amitabha and the two disciples. Then you have the other side there, all the great Buddha and the Bodhisattva. This one is Medicine Buddha, Yao Si Fo. So the one with the pagoda is Yao Si Fo. Then at the back you have Sakyamuni. Then those are the various Theravada images. Then you have, I think, the abbot or what, I'm not sure. The first one, he is very good. He founded this place. That time, this place was very poor, very, what they call, remote, not flourishing. So he told the people here, if you want to flourish, this temple will be the one that will bring up the place. And really, after he built this one, this place flourished like anything. Okay. So now we have made the offering. We will commence our retreat officially. From this moment onward, maintain noble silence. First day, maybe initially excusable. A lot of you still not used to retreat. We need to develop some form of understanding and discipline so that you will become very different when you are about to leave this place. When you talk, try to minimize whatever talking you can. Talk softly, mindfully. Then most important thing is try to use sign language. Sign language, so that the noble silence can be maintained. And I tell you, when you can maintain that noble silence, you will not want to talk. Because this retreat offer opportunity for you. Come, Mrs. Ho, come. Get her a cushion. Somebody help her. Get her a cushion. We need to train the maid where to get it so that she can look after her. No, let her sit somewhere. Don't take her there. Sit on the bench also can. She can sit on the bench. No need to sit on the floor. Or get a chair. Get a chair, sit at the back also can. No problem. It's up to her. Okay, thank you so much. Then somebody who stay with her, try to let her understand the program time, what time we start and next session, what activity, because she's new and she need assistance of her old age and her bodily condition, but her faith is very strong. She made the determination to join us. That's why she was able to come. Initially, the children were so protective of her and want her not to take the risk. But after talking to me, they finally agree if they say the maid can join her to take care of her. So we have done. Our uncle, he will need to sit on a chair, on a stool, no problem. You are okay, huh? Good. Otherwise, you try. You try. If you find it not so suitable, because there will be long hours sitting, you can either lean against the wall, sit on the bench, or on that chair. It's up to you. Posture are not important. Any posture that is stable that can allow you to attentively listen and develop the understanding and meditate, that is the right posture. Okay, so now I will go into the program proper. You turn to page 2. So we have completed the first 4 items, 5 items. We have finished our lunch. We have checked into the temple, settled down. Then we have done our part. Then, like here, I have mentioned, for those who are early, they can walk around mindfully to familiar themselves with the way place. And pay respect to all the Buddha images, Buddha Rupang, that are worthy of respect. So this one most of you all have done. If you have not, then later part of the day, you will have more time. After our dinner, 5:30 to 6 o'clock, you have half an hour to rest and clean up. Then you can move around if you want. You can do whatever that you need to do. Then 6:30, remember, sitting meditation, followed by daily mindfulness training. Okay, now 2:15 to 3:30, this is our official session. Opening puja we have done, followed by briefing and meditation instruction by Brother Teo. So this one, for the sake of those who just arrived from Alastair, I will briefly mention it. But like I have explained, read through the blue book. Everything is inside there about meditation that you need to understand. The mind sweeping method combined with the metta or loving kindness to decondition your heedless thinking mind. And how through the puja you develop the spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. I should have brought along my... This wire is a bit short. How can I reach there? there is another mic. Okay, I use the wireless one. That's very good. Thank you. Okay. I have to write a little bit here. For those who from Alastair, you listen. Those who are already with me for most of the Thursday class, Tuesday class, Wu Ping Jing, you all, I think, pretty familiar. So this is just a revision for you all. You see, about meditation, especially you do at retreat meditation, we need to have clear understanding of what is meditation. So first thing you need to do is, meditation is a very loose word. You know the meaning of loose. It can mean many things. So a lot of people refer to meditation in a very general way. Understand? In fact, everything that people do with the mind, they call it meditation. Understand? So generally, meditation is mental training, understand? Mental training. But we are not interested in normal type of meditation or normal type of mental training. We are interested in the meditation as taught by Lord Buddha. So I will go into this so that you understand. Mental training, this word is very wide and very loose. If let's say you train your mind to do loving kindness, metta, then it becomes metta bhavana, understand? Loving kindness meditation, understand? So this word meditation in Pali is called bhavana, understand? Bhavana. So if you train your mind to do metta or loving kindness meditation, then you call it metta bhavana, understand? Loving kindness meditation. So there are certain people, especially the Hindu tradition, if you train your mind to do yoga, then they call it yoga meditation. Or if you develop kundalini practices, they call it kundalini meditation. Then yoga, they got many forms of yoga. They got Raja Yoga, Kriya Yoga, and Hatha Yoga, and many yoga. Then those who do Qigong, they also call it Qigong meditation, anasana. Yeah. But actually, Qigong is more towards the energy field. They develop the Tan Tian, so that this energy field can be released, that Qi, and they know how to tap. Then for those who do Tai Chi, it's also mostly mindfulness, movement, harmony, balance. So we are very fortunate with us. We have one Uncle Wee. I think Uncle Wee is there. I was told he was 80 years old, 87 or 88. He is a Tai Chi master. So the morning exercise, we can get him to share with you all too. Those who are interested in Tai Chi, you can learn from him. But we only have 10 to 15 minutes. Don't teach the whole of the 18 movement. We don't have enough time here. So we need certain basic good exercises that can make the body, like develop the ability to breathe, to be mindful, so that it will help you in your meditation, especially in your training of the mind to become peaceful, mindful within, through anapanasati, or mindfulness of in and out breath. Okay, now we have defined what meditation is, then now we want to know what is the meditation that the Buddha really teach. So to the Buddha, meditation is very specific. He said, in order to develop meditation, you must have this quality of mind, heedfulness. And heedfulness in Pali is called apamada. You heard of this word, isn't it? Apamada. And heedfulness consists of two parts. The first part is sati, which is mindfulness. After you have developed sati or mindfulness, you must stabilize it. Stabilize it. Then you use it to cultivate. To cultivate the noble eightfold path. These two combined become heedfulness or apamada. So heedfulness is equivalent to sati. Once you have stabilized it, use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. And within this Noble Eightfold Path, you have samasati, where you need to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. And the four foundations of mindfulness finally take you back to develop the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. That's why it completes the whole meditation that the Buddha teach. That's why any meditation you do, if finally it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And without Noble Eightfold Path, you can never be enlightened the way Buddha defined enlightenment. It's only Noble Eightfold Path that transforms you into a noble human being or living beings. Without Noble Eightfold Path, you can be deluded still, although you have fantastic meditation, anasana, fantastic energy field, fantastic state of mind, super calmness, tranquility, stillness, and all those things. You can see light, see everything, you got psychic ability. But you still don't have right view. You still don't have right understanding. You still don't have the wisdom to free your mind when you are afflicted by the first noble truth realities. Then you come to understand that that type of meditation achievement doesn't lead to enlightenment, doesn't lead to freedom from birth and death, freedom from all suffering. So this one is very important. So that's why here our meditation center on these two. First part of meditation is to train this mind to be mindful. Understand that? You have to train it to be mindful. That's why the training is very important. Yeah? Train it to be mindful, yeah? Or in sati. Because the Buddha said very clearly, yeah? He said, Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you don't train your mind to be mindful, leading to the heedfulness, you are spiritually dead. Because you are heedless most of the time. So the heedless are as if dead. It's very clear, and it's very dangerous to be heedless. So you have to determine strongly to be heedful. Yeah. So how do we train our mind to be heedful, to be mindful? Then how do we use it to cultivate this noble eightfold path? And this is what we are here to develop, to achieve, so that you can progress along the path of Dhamma. For those who have already done this, this retreat is going to benefit you a lot, and you are going to reap a lot of reward through your hard work. For those who are still quite new, who still need to develop this understanding, you just patiently train your mind to be mindful. And this retreat will offer you the great opportunity to do that. So first thing first, the Buddha said, the reason why you cannot have sati or mindfulness is because your mind, it is not trained. It has what they call hindrance. So the first category of dhamma that you need to understand is the five mental hindrances. Yeah. And this one you all know, right? Huh? What are they? Huh? What are they? First one is what? Sensual desire. Some more? Ill will is the second one. Sensual desire, ill will. Sloth and torpor is the third one. Fourth one is what? Good. Restlessness of mind. So this one is like a revision for those who already know. And this is very useful. So restlessness of mind. The last one is doubt. Very good. So the Buddha said, these five hindrance, like the word hindrance, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, understand? From entering the meditative state of sati, mindfulness, and inner peace and inner calmness. So hindrance come about because you have delusion. Without delusion, there is no hindrance. So delusion, sakkayaditti, lack of understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence, means you don't have right view with regards to who you are, what you are, what this form and mind is all about, what this mental high aggregate of form and mind is all about. So delusion, lack of right view, can cause the hindrance to arise. So when hindrance arise, your mind is very heedless. So hindrance lead to, hindrance and delusion lead to heedlessness. Asana, you know why the heedlessness come about? They are heedless because the Buddha said, every time you arise mental consciousness, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactilely feel something, or think of something, what happens is you don't have right view, you don't have right understanding, you don't have wisdom. So you tend to react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactilely feel and think. That reaction of mind is your duality, your positive and negative response to sense experience. Things that you like, you develop the desire for it. That's why it becomes sensual desire. And this is attachment. Asana. Things that you don't like, you try to push it away. The unpleasant feeling, the dislike for that thing. That's why sensual desire, you will keep on arising. If throughout the day you live your life like that, you ask yourself what will happen to you. This will become habitual tendency. Asana. Throughout the day, you think of something, you become unhappy. You see something, hear something, also same. Then something you like, you develop the craving, the desire for it. Then it makes you selfish, it makes you lustful, it makes you possessive. When you don't like, it makes you angry. The evil roots of greed and hatred. If these things keep on arising throughout the day with every moment of sense experience, then you develop this habitual tendency to become heedless. That's why you cannot get into good terms with people. You cannot really live your life with happiness and joy. Just like just now at the dinner, I think Miss Yip asked me a question. He said, Brother Teo, when we eat, can we say the food is very nice? You all experience it. Seldom you have vegetarian food that tastes so nice, very fresh, real organic one, and very well prepared. So, what do you think? What do you think? A lot of people don't understand. They say that is craving. No. Why should there be craving? If there is good food to eat, I taste it. If I like it, I will just within the moment experience it. Then when I experience it, I'm not deluded by it. That's why before you eat, we already say you have to reflect and contemplate on the nature of food. In fact, the Buddha actually recommended this to the monk. After in the chanting book at night this evening, I will reveal to you on the which part the Buddha mentioned. The Buddha always teaches us to reflect, contemplate clearly on the purpose of food. This food that is available and prepared by people, we need to rejoice with the wholesomeness and the generosity of all those who have made this food available for us, because they are monks, they depend on offering. So that's why they have to learn how to rejoice. Then through this rejoicing, they will arise the aspiration to give back to all these people. They say, by the power of this rejoicing, may arise the causes and condition for all this offerer or all those people who have made this food possible or available. Realize their good and noble wishes. Or whatever that they want to grant, they just radiate that love and metta. Then they also have to reflect, this food that is offered is not for this form and mind to develop the craving and not to beautify his body. It is just to sustain the need of this body so that it is healthy, so that it can harmonize with the mind to allow them to cultivate the Dhamma, to realize the enlightenment, to do away with the feeling of hunger, and to do away with the situation of lacking food, which is physical energy and spiritual energy needed The food can be transformed into physical energy and become mental energy. So all this, when you reflect and contemplate, it will become clear. Not to develop the indulgence in food, the craving for food, but just for sustenance. So when you understand, you can have good food when there is condition, and you rejoice. And that should be the way. But the next day, let's say, or somewhere else you go, there is no more condition for such food. If your mind reacts, then there is sensual desire, there is craving, anasana, because that is the reality. You are here. These are the things that are offered. Whether you like or you don't like, this is the reality. So if you know how to reflect and contemplate and develop the wisdom to accord and flow, you can still have good food and good mind. Then no negativity. But if you don't have, you are deluded, you compare, you measure, then the thought through memory will tell you, oh, last time at Cameron, the food was fantastic. Oh, here, another retreat place maybe. The vegetarian food, not the same, lousy. Then you develop the aversion, the unhappy. And then that is sensual desire, that is craving, that is delusion. Understand? So this part clear. If you do it until throughout the day, you are like that, then it becomes your habitual tendency. Then you are heedless throughout the day. These two alone already so bad. The third one is sloth and torpor. This one is sleepiness of mind. Your mind become very sleepy. Lethargic mind. Lack of virya, lack of spiritual zeal or energy. When you want to meditate, you become lazy. Just like when you want to study, you become sleepy. Such a mind has hindrance. Understand? Well, you don't have the interest at all. You don't have the faith leading to the spiritual zeal. So sloth and torpor equally bad hindrance. It will never allow you to have an opportunity to cultivate the spiritual life, to meditate. The worst is the fourth one. The fourth one is restlessness of mind. Your mind becomes restless when you are heedless. Why? Because you don't understand the nature's law. You don't keep your precept. You violate your precept. You violate all the moral rules. You cheat. You harm. You kill. You deceive. You partake intoxicant. You commit sexual misconduct. You lie. And you do all sorts of immoral things. What happened? You get yourself into trouble. Society's law come after you. Your mind worry, people come to know. Your spouse come to know. Then the law catch up with you. So you got a lot of fear, worry, and anxiety. So all of your fear, worry, and anxiety are the one that trigger of restlessness. Asana. That's why you become restless. And when your mind is restless, you are not peaceful, not calm. You cannot meditate because you worry a lot. So that's why the first thing you must do is the Buddha said, you must keep the precept. So this brings about the three wholesome Dhamma. The Buddha said, you must do Dana, Sila, and Bhavana. Before you develop the meditation, which is bhavana, you must have morality. This is your precepts. That's why you must keep your five precepts minimum. That's why we renew our five precepts. And this dana is generosity. Generosity is not just monetary, generous. Generosity is kind, generous mind. The mind that radiates love and metta also has dana, understand, not generosity. So when you have generosity, you bring forth a lot of condition for wholesomeness, for goodness to arise, and your mind become like very beautiful. Then once you have this sila, dana, and you keep your sila, this will prepare very good base and condition for you to meditate. Then your bhavana will progress very fast. Then you make the appropriate aspiration for you to walk the path of Dhamma, to avoid all the foolish, meet up with the wise and enlightened one. And this is how Dana, Sila, Bhavana is very important. So keep your precept if you want to progress fast. Otherwise, you will be trapped or slowed down by what you do. And this precept you need to understand. It is part of the nature's law, the first right view, law of karma. If you know karma plays such a great role in your life, like explained in the past, the Buddha said, each and every one of us, we are born of karma, head of karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So karma is number one. You cannot blame your life on anybody else, because the Buddha make it very clear. You are born of your karma, head of your karma, condition supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma, this life, every life. So karma is very important. So you need to take care of karma, then karma take care of your life. Otherwise, you will fall. So to take care of karma, you need to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And that is what meditation is all about. Meditation leads you to the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is everything, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, incapable of negativity. And everything is wholesome. That's why the first two advice done. Avoid all evil, do good. Then when you develop samasati, leading to the samadhi and the wisdom, you develop bhavana, meditation. And that gives rise to the wisdom, the right view. That's how you free. So all this will be very clear. So the last hindrance is doubt. When you are doubtful, not sure of the way to be free from all these things, when you don't have understanding, right view, you have doubt. So doubt is very, very dangerous. When you lack confidence, you cannot achieve anything. You cannot develop anything. But when you have confidence in yourself, they used to say half the battle is won. Understand not? Confidence is very important, even self-confidence. But when it comes to the spiritual path, the Buddha said, you must have faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing how special he is. He is the fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened, complete in enlightenment. He is the wisest and the most virtuous. Such a great teacher you will never be able to find. That's why you must count your good blessing to come into contact with this teaching and to have such a great teacher to be your guide, to be your teacher. So the Buddha said, these are the things that makes you heedless, lack of ability to be mindful, to be peaceful, to develop the meditation. So after you have understood this, the Buddha said, don't try to fight them. Don't try to do anything with them. Understand? You just acknowledge that because you are deluded, you don't have the wisdom or the right view or the right understanding. Your mind is not trained. That's why you become heedless. You think a lot. You worry a lot. Sensual desire, it will keep on arising, creating habitual tendency, reaction of mind. The duality of light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience keep on arising. And this habitual tendency is very difficult to reverse. That's why even at home, in your office, in life, when you have relationship with people, you realize you get angry very often. Then you become miserable. But after you cultivate, you realize you seldom, or you won't get angry anymore. You can accept the reality of everything. So this is the first part that you need to understand. The Buddha said to overcome these five hindrances is very easy. You only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. This one I will go into it quickly. The opposite five is called the five spiritual faculty. The word spiritual is very important. And this spiritual faculty, they are sadha. What is it, sadha?
Faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, we have gone through. Second one is what? Virya is not effort, spiritual zeal. Spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way, because you know this teaching is very useful, very important. You develop the seriousness, the diligence to cultivate. Just like this retreat, you want to do it because you know it's very important. Then the third one is mindfulness, sati. This one is most important. Without this, you cannot start. This is the most important quality of mind that you need to meditate. So sati leading to samadhi. Samadhi is what they call the collected mind. Unwavering and collected mind. Means this mind is not in concentration, understand? This mind is unwavering and collected. Means when you encounter sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think of something, it cannot distract you anymore because you have samadhi. Your mind becomes unwavering and collected. Understand? That's why you can see things as they are. It will not disturb. It will not be disturbed or stirred into like and dislike. Understand? It will not react to sense experience. It has equanimity, born of initially samadhi. So samadhi can help to develop equanimity. Equanimity. But this type of equanimity is not the real one. This type of equanimity is upekkha of mind, but not born of wisdom. Upekkha of mind born of samadhi is still not the ultimate one. Those who do energy field, jhana, concentration, they can get this equanimity in the fourth jhana. But it is not due to wisdom. That's why they still got latent tendency, anusaya, deeply buried inside. Then the fifth one is panya, wisdom. The fifth spiritual faculty, wisdom. This panya or wisdom is very important. When you have sati developed, samadhi developed, mindfulness and collectedness of mind will allow you to see things as they are. Not through a conditioned mind, not through a deluded mind. Means you see the reality exactly as it is, without the words, without the concept, without the idea, the conditioning. That's how you realize wisdom. That's how you insight into the characteristic of nature. That's how wisdom can arise. So when the five spiritual faculty is there, the hindrance will disappear on its own. You can use them to counter each and every one. When you have faith, sadha, no more doubt, correct? Your mind is more composed, you got less restlessness, correct? Then when you have virya, spiritual zeal, you're no more sleepy, sloth and torpor, no more. Then when you have sati and mindfulness, you are not restless, because you don't think at all. No fear, no worry, no anxiety. You're just silent, aware. Then when you have samadhi, sensual desire and ill will cannot arise, understand? Then when you have panya, wisdom, all the five cannot arise. So this is how the spiritual faculty are very important. And we can develop this easily. Like I said, every time you pay respect to the Buddha, you develop the sadha, virya and the sati. Then you do your meditation like what I teach you. You will definitely train your mind to have sati stabilized. Then samadhi will arise on its own. Samadhi is the continuous mindfulness until the daily mindfulness is so stable, unwavering, collected. Then throughout the day, you just aware, mindful. Your mind is very different. That's why I say, walk naturally, walk mindfully. Naturally, without thought, you are already mindful. Don't try to note anything, try to be mindful, and just walk, relax, and asana. But the mind inside with awareness. Aware of what? Aware of the four foundations. You can be aware of the kaya, the bodily activity. Body and mind move as one. Breath and mind move as one. You anchor in the heartbeat, the vibration and the mind move as one. But your senses are still open. You can still be aware of whatever that arises. Then you can be aware of feeling at every moment of sense or consciousness. Upon contact, feeling arises. Then through that wisdom, feeling will remain as pure feeling. Feeling will not develop into craving. Sensual desire, ill will, the hindrance. You cannot. But to do that, you need wisdom, you need understanding. Then you can rest on the foundation of citta, content of consciousness. Whatever that is in your mind, when you are already very mindful, the first training is using your body so that your mind has sati, so that it's always with the moment and is aware of what is going on. And then you go into feeling. That mindfulness is more refined because feeling is very fast, come and go very fast. Kaya is very gross, you can be with it for a long time. Then after that feeling, split second is gone. But feeling is just a normal surface consciousness. That feeling always arises. Then it conditions into craving. Craving is a content of consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, when there is sensual desire, when there is ill will in the content of consciousness, you must be aware. There is citta nupassana. When there is delusion, you must be aware. Means you're aware of the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So these are the three foundations. Then the last one is Dhamma. Dhamma, there are five categories of practices. For those who already developed the higher understanding, you will understand. The first category of Dhamma investigation or four foundation of mindfulness, Dhamma Nupassana cultivation is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. Understand? That's why you go back to these five. You come to know how sensual desire come to be. Understand? How the unarisen sensual desire come to be. Then later on when you are mindful and now you saw how it disappear, then you come to know how this arisen sensual desire cease to be. Understand? Then later on you come to know that all this sensual desire can never arise in the future because you have developed the wisdom and the understanding of it. That's how Dhamma Nupassana brings about understanding of this cultivation of the five mental hindrances. Then after that, you go to the five, what they call, aggregates of form and mind. Then when you understand what this five aggregates of form and mind, only you go into the mindfulness of the six internal sense bases, six external sense bases, so as to trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively reverse it to develop the wisdom. That one, the 18th sense rhyme, that will give rise to understanding of who you are, what you are, how you function as a human being, how upon contact consciousness come to be, how with the arising of that consciousness, the content of consciousness that you put in through your delusion, how the fetters, condition, delusion, suffering. All this you will understand. Then after that, you will move to the next category of cultivation. That time you will see all the factors of enlightenment, the seven factors of enlightenment, keep on arising in your cultivation. You have sati leading to Dhamma Vichaya, means Dhamma investigation. Then there is virya. Then there is what they call piti. So after piti arise, you realize the mind become very still, paucity. Then when paucity arise, you realize the mind is in sati. Then when you stabilize it in your daily life with that paucity, it becomes samadhi. When throughout the day you are like mindful, aware, your mind doesn't stir anymore, doesn't react anymore. Like you start to understand. But that one is due to your continuous mindfulness and samadhi. And as you still need to develop wisdom. That's why you still need to go to the four foundations of mindfulness and cultivate Dhamma Nupassana, the last one. The last one is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. That's why you need to do the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. And that is where the real practice is. Understand not? Okay? With that, I end today one. Today one enough. Already, actually a lot of things. But it's a good revision for most of you. Okay. For those from Alastair, I hope you can catch what is being shared. But don't worry. If you find it difficult, read through the notes, read through the blue book, then diligently cultivate. The understanding will come. But one or two of them will understand. I think Puan Chi will understand. Mr. Kang will understand. But for the rest, Mr. Chong, your son, and Mrs. Kang, try. This retreat may help you to develop the faith, the spiritual faculty. Anything you're not sure, later on after the retreat, only ask your husband or your wife or your Dhamma friend. While in the retreat, don't disturb them. Try not to talk. Okay, now we are 3:15. We almost going to finish. So, why not I take you all up to the hill. Oh, sorry. Otherwise the battery gong. I have been using the wireless mic. I should have brought my very long. I actually want to load it into my box already. Then I remember Sister Lee is supposed to bring her. She also got one with a long wire. I don't know whether she brought or not. She didn't bring. Oh, she brought. I got. Oh, I got a lot. I got universal extension plug. Last time I stayed in that room with Brother Suyan here, there's only one PowerPoint. That's why I learned. I observed. So this time I bring a gang of four. So I plug it in. I create three new ones. So if Dhamma can be like that, very good. I plug into one of you, four become enlightened. Like that will be very fast. No need to cultivate. It's okay. Tell Miss Lee don't have to bring. I will bring the next session. We got about 10 minutes maybe. What I will do is, I will take you up to the hill. We will walk one round. Then you can do your next session one. The next session, 3:30 to 4:30, is formal meditation via sitting and walking or lying down meditation plus daily mindfulness training via Dhamma contemplation, reflection and inquiry within the vicinity of the temple area while in the walking, standing and lying down posture. So this Dhamma contemplation or reflection, you can do it anywhere, any place, any time. The temple has a lot of beautiful condition for you to do your reflection and your contemplation. So immediately after this, I will take you to the hill. We can go through the kitchen. We go down. We go into the kitchen. Then kitchen, there's a back door. Then we can walk up here. You see the step outside? The railing, the step. We can reach the hilltop. It's also an annex side of this temple. Then I will show you around how you reflect, how you contemplate on the beautiful nature. That fictitious, what they call Raikab, got described. If you want to understand them, you bring that copy with you. Then you read through up there, reflect, contemplate, and try to do whatever contemplation. Then later on, for those who want to come and do your formal meditation here, the sitting, you can walk down the hill on the other side, the opposite side, or you come back the same place also can. It's up to you. If you go out, you will reach the entrance. You will reach the entrance. You come out, walk towards your right. You will reach the main entrance, then you come in again. Then you can do your walking outside,
or contemplation at the entrance door there. I used to stand there. I close my eye, I silence my nature, or sometimes I open my eye and look at nature. All of the beautiful flora. Then when my mind is silent, I can detect all this energy. Then my nature like one with everything. Then I can feel the breeze, the wind, the nature, the energy, the weather, everything. Then when I silent, I can hear a lot of things. The chirping of the birds, the insect clicking sound, the vibration from the flow of the water and all those things, the stream. There's a very loud stream at the back here. As you go up, you will experience them. And today is very good, the weather very conducive, chill, cooling. But the sun is there. Means you are very blessed. So when it comes to formal meditation, those who know how to meditate, you can meditate. Then when you do your walking, I show you how you do your walking. Walking meditation is very simple. You see, walking meditation is very simple. Okay, before that, maybe let me tell you a few more things. As you come in, you're supposed to be very mindful, very aware, understand? Even when you walk and collect your cushion, your hand, how you actually hold the thing, how you move. Your mind and body must be one so that there is awareness. And when you do this more and more, your thinking automatically become less and less, from heedless to heedful. The moment you are with the movement of your activity, the bodily movement, this is what Kaya Upasana is all about. Body and mind move as one. Understand? That is sati, without thought. When your body and mind move as one, there is no thought. So that's why you just silence your mind and aware. Means be with the movement. Be with the awareness. When you stand, the body like inside this body aware. When you walk, the mind like together with the together with the body. Just walk naturally. Mindfully is the mind aware of all this movement, understand? Even the blinking of the eye, right? You can only be aware of one thing at a time. But because later on after you train, your mindfulness is so swift, so fast, it can be like simultaneously aware of a lot of things. Wherever your attention is, it can be mindful of it. Later on, you can be mindful of externally. Everything you come to perceive outside, even people walking, the moving car, or insect flying, or whatever, or the flow of nature, the tree, the leaf, everything, even the weather, the whatever energy field within. So nature's movement, physical movement, and mental movement. These are the three type of phenomena that you see throughout life. They call physical phenomena, mental phenomena, and nature's phenomena. You can develop mindfulness out of it. It is very easy, very simple. But you cannot do it if you don't have mindfulness. That's why for those who have, it's very easy. For those who have yet to train, it's like very difficult. What is mindfulness? You don't even understand what it is. And you try to do. That's why a lot of people do it wrongly. They not here, not there. It's not going to help them. You just relax, silent, and aware. Then when you take your cushion, I continue. How you walk, how you aware, then how you put your cushion down, then how you spread it out, then how you, from a standing posture, bend down, and how you turn and move, and how you sat down, all fully aware. And how your hand moves to the posture, then how you relax your body and mind with awareness. As I speak, I explain. My mind is with all this, understand? That Then because inside silent, everything that move, I will be able to be aware, understand? Yeah. Then when it comes to walking, it's the same. Yeah? You raise from the seat and they respect. Do it mindfully. Body and mind is one with the faith inside. Then you can recite silently inside your mind, homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the full enlightened. Then as you go down, you're mindful. Then you come out, you're mindful. After you finish, how you, from the bowing posture to the standing posture, you're fully aware. And then after that, if you want to do walking meditation, you can do. And I will teach you. To do the walking meditation, see, from here, how I stand up. If my hand here, I aware, understand? Then when you aware, you try to feel. It's very cold, this flooring, like I told you. So that feeling is there, very clear. This type of consciousness will overtake everything, understand? But because you are relaxed and aware, you can be aware of your leg moving up and how it stand up. Then my mind is with this body, understand? Then I stand up. That's why the Buddha says, standing, you're aware. Walking, you're aware. Not standing, not standing, or intending to stand. You know that for one. The real thing is there is no intention to stand. There is intention to come out of that place to do walking meditation. There is no intention to stand. That's why that is not the reality. That is all theory, not based on reality. So when you want to walk, you can decide, look for a place, here, a lot of space. About 20 pace will be the best. Then I teach you how to walk and turn back naturally. You don't have to do like that, turning, to further stay. Don't need. You just walk naturally, like in daily life. Understand? So I just walk. But my body and mind as one. Fast or slow is up to you. Initially, don't try to understand. Just walk. Like playing badminton. Initially, you're very lunchun, very clumsy. Shuttlecock also cannot hit, not slow. But after you practice, it becomes more and more what they call get used to it. Then later on, when you become skillful, like it's very easy. Every shot, you can hit very well. Then you know how to balance, you know how to control. So walking meditation is the same. Initially, like you are not in rhythm. Don't worry. Forget about it. Just walk. Walk until body and mind as one. One day, you will understand, this is sati. This is what residual and the Buddha meant by sati, mindfulness. You will know yourself. When you are in sati, you will know. Before you are in sati, don't try to know. Understand not? Don't try to note this, note that, intending to walk. All this is the thought try to verbalize. The thought that try to verbalize will actually make it more difficult to be in sati. Because to be in sati, the mind must be silent. The moment I am silent, I already aware. Why must I try to be aware? So mindfulness, you need understanding to develop. And when you can develop it, it is so beautiful, understand? So that's why those who do this verbalization, thought-based one, noting one, they have to slow down everything until their mind is become like, sometimes I don't know what word to use. Some people tell me they feel so funny. They walk until like want to fall down, understand? Initially, it's like they use the word zombie. Actually, it's quite a strong word. But if it's not natural, it can become like that, understand? But when they are very relaxed and very mindful, then they reach the state of no thought, and then mindfulness can set in. Then they realize they will walk differently, not like last time, noting, intending to stand in. No more, they just walk. That's why you want to do all the wrong one, then finally come back to the correct one. You are lucky if you can do it. If you don't have the path, it's very difficult. So why not you just do it through the normal way, which is easier and faster. You just walk. Understand? As long as body and mind as one, you just walk.
Then you reach the end, and on the turn, step, turn this leg, and set up. When you turn this leg, you are back again. Okay? You just walk. As you're breathing, when you walk, you exercise. The breathing will become more and more smooth, more and more gradual. Then after a while, you realize the body and mind as one. Then you realize you don't have thought, or very little thought. Then that rhythm will fall into place. And if you walk long enough, like I did in one of the retreats 30 years ago here, I think, I walk until I got no thought. Then all of a sudden, I come out to sit. I find that it's so easy to sit, where my mind is already in sati. When you are already in sati, capacity is there, meditation becomes very simple. You just sit down on it, straight away stillness. Of course, no sound. I just verbalize for you. The mind like stop. Completely, the brain everywhere, no thought, nothing, just silent. I like that Thursday night, that brother one, Subang, the one the daughter got cancer. Eric. First time I think he experienced that good state of mind. You know. Oh, he said he meditated and he developed the anapanasati. Then he realized he was so calm, so peaceful, no thought, no nothing, no worry, no fear. Even the work, everything doesn't disturb him. Then he felt the motherly love, that love. Then the mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful. And you can see from his smile, the radiance. He is so different from months ago. Months ago, you look at him full of worry, suffering, unhappiness, cannot come to terms with the reality of what happened to him and his family. But now he's so different. So you just do all this. So now we can adjourn to do the what they call contemplation up there. You get ready, pay respect. Then we go. Okay? Next session, I will teach you how to do the bowing. Maintain mindfulness of all your action and movement. Then compose your mind. Then pay respect mindfully. The Lord Buddha and all the great beings that are around, the worthy ones. So from now onward, try to maintain noble silence. Don't talk unless absolutely necessary. Use more sign language. Then we will go out of here. Then we meet at the kitchen entrance there.